Thank you. Well, last week we did begin the short sermon series called Reasons for Faith, Testimonies to Jesus. And basically, last week was all about personal experience. Personal experience, how the disciples encountered the Lord personally. And we actually got to kind of see this in real time for ourselves as well, as Samuel was a youth confirmand, Samuel, Marilyn, Sam, and Mary, and Thomas, and Tony all became members of the church, and they got to share their testimony of what God has been doing in their lives as well. It was great. It was a wonderful celebration. And today we shift gears in this short series to another kind of testimony. And this is the testimony from Scripture, the testimony of Scripture. The Bible itself bears witness to the living Lord. So personal experience, Scripture, all bears witness to God in one way or another. Because Scripture can be read in many different ways. When we read the Bible, we can read it in all sorts of different ways. And yet, there is a way that we can read Scripture that is a witness to the God revealed in Jesus Christ. So if you're at the hockey game, it's playoff time, right? You're at the hockey game, but you forget your glasses. And so, you know, young folks, you don't have this problem, but when we have contact lenses or glasses, we can't see the puck. All we see is blurred people melting in together, and it just doesn't, you can't follow the play. You don't know if the puck is in this end or that end. Or it would be like going to the symphony and you're there, and or at a play, you can't see the people, you can hear it, but you can't fully appreciate what is being said and done because you don't have the right lens to see it. When we read the Bible in this fashion, we miss the point of it as well. So today's message will be about the testimony of Scripture. When the lenses are off, we may see the words, but we miss the meaning behind it. And that's exactly what happens in this Emmaus story. These disciples are on the road, they're disappointed, they're sad. The events that have been happening around them have really got them down. And in a way, they have one hand in their Bible. They do know the ancient Scriptures. And they have another hand in the world, and they can't bring the two together. And yet, it all comes together when they meet Jesus on the road with them. So before this change happens, they can't see clearly. They do know the Scriptures. They know them almost inside out. They grew up with the law and the prophets. They knew the Torah. And yet, they know the story of Israel, too. They had this hope that was burning in their hearts that one day the Messiah would come and take away their suffering. So in this context, they wanted the Romans to kind of take a back seat. Would these guys just kind of settle down already and just leave us be able to worship our God in peace? That's another element of the context of this. They had a deep hope, but it was as if they were looking in a telescope, the wrong end of the telescope, right? They couldn't see clearly. They wanted a Messiah that would triumph. And Jesus is saying, the Messiah needs to suffer. And so Jesus names it directly. He says, how foolish are you? How slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken about. So Jesus is saying, guys, you've got the Bible. How come you don't see it? It's pretty strong language, but it reveals a problem. It's not because they don't have the information. It's just that they don't understand it. Their hope has already died. This is what the text says. We had hoped that he was the one. They had hoped that he was the one, but it died with the crucifixion. So they were living in the past. The crucifixion was a failure. And they couldn't interpret what God was doing in the present. They couldn't see that Jesus was actually walking with them on the road. They had met with him. They had ate with him. How could they not recognize the living, resurrected Lord who is with them. It's not just a Bible knowledge problem, but a spiritual problem when our expectations and assumptions, our disappointments, cloud our reading of the ancient scriptures. We see this on the Emmaus Road for sure, but we can also see this in our own lives as well. I think it's when we begin to lose heart and disappointment sets in and our hope starts to fade. It can happen as people in the church as well. And when this happens, something shifts. We start to think that the Bible is all about just a moral book. If I do this, A and B, then C will happen. And when it doesn't happen in that formula, we get discouraged. Other times we can just take, people take the latest modern philosophy at university. You're going to learn about all sorts of different philosophies, and they just take these philosophies, they put them onto the Bible and attach it to Jesus, and they run with this. When we do this, we can end up reading both the Old and New Testament disconnected from the life source, from Jesus and his life, his death, and his teachings. When scripture is disconnected from Jesus, we end up something different from the heart of God, the second person of the Trinity. We can see a God who loves the world, but we also see a God who's distant and harsh, right? Instead of seeing a God who is gracious and loving, we can drift towards judgment if we're playing the rule game, saying, okay, I've done A, I've done B, and C isn't, why isn't this working out the way that I want? We can become judgmental. Instead of seeing a Savior who lays down his life for others, we can reshape God into making it all about ourselves and what we need in our consumeristic life in North America. When we let our assumptions, our fears, our cultural experience dictate how we read the Bible, we can miss the living God who is the one who is empowering us in our reading. You know, history shows us this clearly. When scripture is read apart from Christ, you think about Hitler and the things that were done in the name of Christ, right? How do you justify this? When we do this, violence and cruelty and exclusion and harm can be done in the name of God. When nations or movements take hold of scripture without the lens of Jesus, it not only distorts faith, but it pushes people away from it. Because it isn't just a big picture issue for these big issues, but on the personal level too. When we carry guilt after reading the Bible and then take that into our lives, it shapes who we are and how we interact with other people. When we don't read it through the lens of grace, it affects our relationships as well. We can be like the two disciples, still walking, still taking that road, still trying to make sense of our life, our world, and our faith, discouraged and disappointment, and missing the very presence of God in our lives. We can lose sight of the living Christ who meets us. The turning point of the Emmaus Road in Luke 24 is not that the disciples speak. What are they speaking? They're speaking, Jesus was a prophet. He was mighty and he was good. The cross, that was a failure. And the empty tomb, it's just simply confusing. I can't put my mind around it. The turning point is when Jesus speaks. And what does he say? I had to suffer. The cross was part of the plan. It wasn't defeat. It was God's plan. The resurrection is surprising, but it was fulfillment of all the things. That's what he says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He interpreted them, the things about himself, in all the scripture. You know, on one way you could look at it, boy, Jesus, he was kind of, in some ways, arrogant. Like, he's like, it's all about me. All the scriptures. So when you're reading Leviticus, and it's all these rules about dietary and sacrificial stuff, what do we do with that today? Jesus is like, all of this is leading and pointing to me. What a claim. They've said either Jesus is a lunatic, or he's somebody to be followed with your whole entire being. You can't have it other way. This is a game-changing claim. The Bible becomes a testimony to Jesus because it reveals his life, his death, and his resurrection, his teaching, not just random events, but the very climax of God's saving work in the world. It's not just a collection of teachings. It is a witness to the living Christ. That's the point of the Bible. The disciples, they later say, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us? The Bible doesn't simply speak about the Lord. It reveals him. It's the place that we get to meet the living God. That same grace that continues in our lives today as people of faith, and we don't always recognize it, it's in the small little ways in our lives, yet we meet Jesus through the hearing of the word. When we come to church, when we take time to be with fellow Christians coming to church, we do meet the living Savior, a Savior who forgives, a Savior and a shepherd who guides, a teacher who opens our eyes, and a friend who walks alongside us on our difficult journeys when we're having troubles. The living Lord is present with us when we read the word. It's why gathering in worship matters, because life is so difficult for young people today, for families, for seniors. So many of us are so weary, and many are losing hope. There's a story about a 80-foot maple tree, and this maple tree in Connecticut, over the years, it didn't change much, but one time a branch fell down. And it was as if at the edge of the branch, there was like a almost like a scar, it looked like. And it looked like the face of Jesus. And I don't know, for me, I was like, well, but people started coming to this neighborhood and gathering around this tree. And they would marvel at the face of Jesus. And it was giving people real hope. I often, when I do a funeral for somebody and their loved one passes away, and they have a strong connection, and it usually has to do with nature or something, and a hummingbird comes, and there's just a connection, and they say to me, Sean, I know that my husband is okay. And it's like, how do you argue with that? And yet, this branch that had been broken, and this face of Jesus, people were coming to the branch and offering a prayer. They were touching the tree, and people were saying, you know, there's healing in this. I believe that God is alive. Are we to say, that's just not how you do it? No. This is giving people hope. Jesus somehow is being witnessed to in this different type of encounter. The whole neighborhood came together and the cars were slowing down. It became kind of a sign, a reminder that God was with people. This is what the Bible is for us. This is the Bible read rightly. When we begin to see the one who walks with us and talks with us and whom we know by name. We talked about that last week, that Jesus knows your name. He knows your inside and out. He knows your good and your bad, and he loves you anyways. And he's got your back. And God is with you. This is a right reading of scripture. Friends, our hope is not found in glimpses on trees or passing signs, although these are ways that we can encounter God. The Bible itself is not the hope of the world, but it is faithfully points us to the one who is. An invitation today to return to scripture. After the service, I was talking to Joe this week, and I was saying, Joe, I think we really need to start a study. And so, whether it's a video or something or some food together, but just starting in the month of May as a church. David's got the Bible study after church. It starts at, what, 9:15? 9 o'clock, and he's got 8 to 10 people who gather. There's still room. There's extra chairs. And talk to me and Joe about a time that could possibly work so we could put something together, reading the scripture, meeting our living Lord, talking about our lives, learning from each other, different perspectives. Friends, all of this coming together, life can be frustrating. And yet when we read the Bible through the lens of our living Lord, things come together. Life begins to take shape. We encounter the risen Christ, alive and present and leading us still. Amen.